Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Toldos. We'll start out with a couple of stories. There is a Rashi upon which we will base a couple of stories, and that's Vayelech Padena Aram. This is Kav Chashei. El Lavan Ben Besuel Arami. He's referred to as Achi Rivka, and then refers to Rivka as Aim Yaakov Esav. So says Rashi, Aim Yaakov Esav. Why does it say that she's the mother of Yaakov and Esav as well? And it says, Eini yodea malam milam denu. Rashi in rare form says, I don't know what this means. So many people have tried to explain this Rashi. That's not where we're going to do right now. But it's very, very hard for somebody to lower themselves and say, I just don't know. And that, in my view, gives a ton of veracity to every other Rashi that we ever come across, because if Rashi tells us when he doesn't know, he'll also be honest with us when he does know. So there's a story about the Beis HaLevi, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, and he, of course, had extraordinary renown. And when they wanted him to be the Rav Ha'ir, the rabbi of the city, right at the beginning of his appointment, they asked a bunch of tough shilas to him, and they wanted to hear him answer, and he just kept answering the same way. Eini yodea, I don't know. So they were kind of surprised, and they asked him other questions. Eini yodea, I don't know. All of a sudden, it goes on. They asked a third shila. Eini yodea, I don't know. And all of a sudden, it started becoming uncomfortable. And finally, somebody, one of the gvirim of the community said, look, we have no doubts that you're an incredible lamdan, but a Rav Ha'ir who's not going to be able to paskin halachas might not be the right person for this job. So, they're trying to figure out, what to do with him and everything else. But when they came to meet with him, they basically mentioned, the concern, and the Beis HaLevi smiled. He said, do not worry, Rabosai. Don't worry about this. I will give you my word that Bezras Hashem, from here and on, I will be able to paskin all of your shilas. I just wanted to teach all of you that, and also really to teach myself, that a Rav can, and it's mutter for them to say, I don't know. And if it comes to a point where they don't know something, that's totally fine. I remember when I met with a group of Rabbanim to meet with Rav Asher Weiss, he gave out an email address to be able to reach out to him, and he said, please feel free to reach out, but I reserve the right to tell you I don't know, and that happens. So I have my own story to that effect as well. One more I don't know story is a story about there was a Shabbos where the Rav Zev Wolf from Zabriz was with the Chozeh Milublin. And at the Friday night Suda, the Chozeh asked him, he said, can you tell me over something to say? And Rav Zev Wolf responded, now I won't say it. Okay, fine, And then Shabbos morning, they asked him again, at the Suda, will you say something? He said, nope, now I won't say it. And fine. I mean, he was a big Kama Chocham, there's something to say, but he said no. And finally, he gets to Shalash Shudas, and they ask him to speak. It sounded like, if he says now, I won't say, maybe he'll say it later. They asked him, he said, Eini yodea. And the Chozeh Milublin asked him, said, listen, if you didn't answer that way the first couple of times, why did you change? What happened? So Rav Zev Wolf responded, Chazal teaches, Lame Lashon Chalomar Eini Yodea. It says, you need to teach your tongue to say, I don't know, which means that a person really needs to learn. They need to spend a lot of time figuring out how to be metakin, how to fix their midos, and answer truly, I don't know. And for that purpose, all Shabbos long, I worked on myself and I worked on my midos to the point where I could finally say, I don't know. Okay, some Divrei Torah. Let's do a couple quick Divrei Torah. First, the Sfornim. So it says, somebody who thinks of, it's a really beautiful Sephorno when you see, it says, V'yomer re'e re'ach b'ni k're'ach ha'soda. It says in Chav Zayin and Chav Ches, because you smell asher bircho Hashem, v'yiten lecha alokim mital ha'shamayim. So it says, the Sephorno says, a person who thinks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, is zocha to get further chasadim. So when you say when you see and you consider the chesed that a Kadosh Baruch Hu brought a sweet smell onto the clothing to be meshiv nefesh, because of that zechus, you're going to get v'yiten lecha Elokim mital ha'shamayim. You're going to get more bracha, meaning a good smell. Recognizing a good smell means a Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you other tovos to recognize, and that's a beautiful smichos to remember. And an important thing is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu cannot overdose on Hakaras HaTov. So next, we have a Orach Chaim. The Orach Chaim notes with respect to Rivka, she says to Yitzchak, "Katzti b'chayai mipnei b'nos Ches." I'm so upset about these girls from Ches. Im lakoach Yaakov Isha. Basically, why would I live if he marries one of these girls? So Rivka's not only sending Yaakov away because she wants her to find a good bride, but she really is sending him away so he gets safe from Esav. So she doesn't really tell the truth here about sending Yaakov away, but instead she changes what her real reasoning is. And the reason is, says the Orach Chaim, because she doesn't want to speak Rechilus. Even though what she did was right, what she did by with respect to Yaakov was lo tamod al dam ra'yacha, meaning you can't stand on your neighbor's blood. I mean, you got to help save the life of your son, even though what he did was right. And that's a very a hush of a thing for her to be able to make such a distinction. Is that even though what I did was right, I still need to be sensitive about the way I speak. Next is the word Edom. Al King Krashmo Edom. So this goes back to the Sforno. This is one of the most impactful Sfornos I've ever seen. He says Edom is not a simple adjective, but instead it's a tzivui, a command, meaning Edom his adem, meaning turn into. Now, there are two different ways to read this. One way means to turn into a man, meaning to say that Esav had no humanity. Indeed, we'll learn in a moment. He says, Haliteni na min adoma adomaza, meaning feed me like an animal. Halata is the way that we feed animals, not men. Indeed, the Mishnah in Shabbos talks about that's the way I believe you feed certain beasts to stick food down their mouths. But nevertheless, it could mean be a human, and the other one, it means to be a man, like an Adam, and grow up. Either one really, they're both sides of the same thing, is that not everybody who is biologically a human is a human. Not everybody who is biologically, an adult is an adult. And both of these point to Esav to say that, you know, people are born with a lot of work to do, and you have something to do here. So when you are so impulsive and so short-sighted, you need a tzivui. And indeed, we have this concept which has been developed quite extensively called people in extended adolescence, where you can find in their people in their 30s or their 40s have not yet really heard this call, Edom. Number four, the Orach Chaim. So why does Yitzchak give Esav a bracha? Is it just that he's, you know, he still likes him? Like, what's happening here? So there's a beautiful, just a beautiful thought. He says, Yitzchak wanted to give Esav a bracha, even though he was a Rasha, because he thought that the bracha might turn him around. Because tzaddikim really are very upset, obviously, when their children are Rishayim. And he tried to bring him back around. And maybe it would be successful, because indeed we have this medrash that Yaakov was punished because he kept Dina away from Esav, because maybe marrying Dina would have allowed, kind of helped him be Chozer B'tshuva. So it's a very, very, very interesting concept. Now on to Haliteni Namina Adoma. Adoma is a, I remember, that I believe it's the Nesivos, says that if Esav asks to be fed like an animal, where it means that you feed me like a camel, you know, then maybe they, you know, you are how you eat. If you eat like an animal, you are an animal, and therefore the laws that apply to humans don't apply to you. So therefore, you know, we can do some sort of trickery in order to get the bechorah from you. But here, the Alshech takes a different approach. He says, Haliteni means feed me like an animal. You know, humans eat, you know, a menschliche sudo with bread. You feed me like, you know, like a ravenous person. And Yaakov refuses. He says, no, I'm not going to do like that. Let's eat like a mensch. First, he gives him lechem unazid adoshim. What does he give him? He gives him bread. So he eats a proper sudo like a mensch, and beans. So why is that? I believe it's Kli Yoker says it's because it's like a Sudas Havroah, and maybe it's an existential Sudas Havroah. You know, you're losing yourself here. V'yesh Lahosif says, the Alshech, though, Yaakov gave him bread, so he would eat, and beans, but he didn't give him wine, because he didn't want him to be like this, this pleasure-seeking id monster. And where did the wine come from? Any wine that he did, Esav actually brought his own. It was a bring your own liquor kind of event, and that's why the parshia kind of reads as it does. So okay, last thing is just a thinking question. So in Perek Chaf Hey Pasuk Chaf Aleph Yatar Lo Hashem. So there we're talking about davening. Says. By Yitzchak, Kadosh Baruch Hu listens. Kasav Rashi, the low law, he listens to Yitzchak and not to Rivka. Why? She'ein domet tfilas tzadik ben tzadik l'tfilas tzadik ben Russia. So the davening of a tzadik that is the child of a tzadik, a second generation tzadik, is dissimilar to that of a first generation tzadik. So that's why Hashem listens to him and not her. But the problem is, the prior pasuk, Rashi says, talking about Rivka, it says, the Hagit Shivcha Shehaisa Bas Rasha. She was the daughter of Rasha, V'achus Rasha, and the sister of Rasha, U'mikoma Anshe Resha, and where she was from was a place full of evil people, V'lo Lamda Mimaaseim. And she didn't learn from them. So it seems that perhaps, really, it would be a greater Shevach when you are a tzaddik ben Russia and you didn't learn from them, as opposed to a tzaddik ben tzaddik, where really everything is on a silver platter for you. So how do we resolve those two? Does it have to do with tefillah? Does it have to do with zechuyos, or perhaps something else? Thank you for learning with me.